Hey, listeners, it's Dave jumping in with a quick editor's note. Our IT guy, whom we love very much, humbly requested that his name be redacted from the following segment. Just wanted to establish that so when you hear the beeps, you don't think we had a bunch of potty mouths right out the gate. Enjoy the show.
We're off to an interesting start today. Our IT guy just walked into the cabin studio and asked me if he could give me some fashion advice. And I reluctantly said yes.
Okay.
And then he said, you need to brush your hair. And I was like, it's a podcast. And I have an ear infection right now. I know that sounds like I'm a five-year-old, but it's true. So I just woke up today and was like, I ain't brushing my hair. I ain't doing it.
Oh, you look fine.
Thank you. I agree. I was like, I'm not on camera. That's
hard
the
to
beauty.
Please, that.
He is hard to please. And that's the beauty of this podcast, which is partly why I was so excited to do it. I was like, I don't have to get ready. I can just climb into this cool cabin podcast studio and talk.
He just kind of looked at me and went,
no hope.
So he's like, I got no advice for
you. How to translate that. Yeah.
What do we have on today's show?
Well, today, and this is just episode 2.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's amazing. Today we're going to be talking about, in Campfire Conversations, unique cabins and cottages in Wisconsin.
Love this topic. Yes. This is a hot topic. We get asked about this all the time on social media and in person. So real excited to give you guys some tips on where to go.
And all year round too, because the winter cabin and cottage getaways are really nice and really
totally
peaceful. We're going to go behind the scenes with Brian Mosinian, looking at this weekend's episode coming up with Wisconsin walking tours.
Yes.
And that's also all over the state, 4 different towns.
One of my favorite episodes so far from this season. So I'm excited to talk to him and really kind of, you know, give you guys a peek behind the curtain as to how we filmed that show, what it was like, and the 4 different cities that we visited.
So lots of great art and got all your steps in, right?
I got a lot of steps in, yes.
And then, of course, we're going to go with Wisconsin in 72, where we have 72 seconds to tell you all about events going on in Wisconsin this weekend.
Last week, I gave it a crack. This week, you're giving it a go.
Yeah, I got to motor mouth it.
Yeah, you do.
We shall see.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Before we get into it, I do want to do a little shameless plug here for social media. So in addition to subscribing to this very podcast, I want you guys to go to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest and YouTube and subscribe, like, and follow us. I know I have a lot of requests.
Nice, simple ask.
And
here.
And then
we'll see you in a couple hours after you're done.
Come back in a few hours.
Yes. And then check out our group on Facebook. It's called Around the Campfire with Discover Wisconsin. So if you're a super fan or you just really want to kind of give us some advice, tips, suggestions on what you want us to feature on the show, that's probably the best place to do it. We definitely listen to our fans and our viewers, our listeners. So if you guys got something to say, head to our Facebook group.
All right, The Cabin is presented by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring Ashland County. Now, Ashland County is once a center for lumbering, mining, and Great Lakes shipping, and today it's known as the historic mural capital of Wisconsin, hugging the shore of Lake Superior up there. It's beautiful. Local historic figures are depicted in a series of huge murals located in the historic business district of Ashland, which also has a beautiful view of the water. And this part of Wisconsin is also filled with museums, beaches, and great paths and trails, making it the perfect destination year-round for weekend getaways.
Yeah, and you just kind of foreshadowed the rest of the podcast, because we will be talking about the fact that Ashland is the historic mural capital of Wisconsin.
That's right, mm-hmm. And it's beautiful up there.
Yeah, it really is.
And
so beautiful.
The landforms, the town itself, Northland College up there, it's a college town up there in Ashland, mm-hmm. And there's a lot of cool stuff to do there.
Yeah, I think
that's
one city that has really done some cool things over the last decade or so, probably even longer, I'm sure. I mean, the murals are definitely the star of that town, I guess, in my opinion. You can take a trolley tour. We'll get more into it later. But that is, I will definitely chalk Ashland up under underrated towns in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's kind of not an undiscovered thing, but it's just, yeah, like you said, not as many people have been there. Everybody's heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer people have been there, and they need to go because it really is fantastic. It's right along US 2. It's very easy to mm-hmm. get to, and it's kind of, it's the main road. It's the main thing between Duluth and the UP.
Yeah.
And so it's a small town, but it's got a bigger feel.
So go check out Ashland County.
Yes. Now on today's Campfire Conversation, we're kicking things off with unique cabins and cottages in Wisconsin. And there's a lot of them all over the state. We're picking out a few of our favorites here.
What do you look for when you book a cabin or a cottage or just any of your accommodations in general? Like, what's on your list?
Well, I don't want to sound like a city slicker, but I love being out in the woods and remote places. But inside a cabin, I want it to be comfy and cozy. And I want some nice heat in the winter. I want some nice cooling in the summer. But otherwise, I want natural beauty surrounding me wherever I am. And I want there to be a lot of good recreational opportunities.
I agree. And that's not city slicker. That's...
Well, I think wanting some temperature control.
You don't want it to be too rough. Yeah, some nice insulation.
As opposed to camping in a tent, which I've done plenty up in Ashland and Bayfield County. It's a different experience.
The cabin that my family, that some of my uncles had together up, and they still have it up in Cable, for the longest time throughout my entire childhood, had an outhouse only. So that was my experience, was like running out to the outhouse at, you know, in the middle of the night. Praying you don't run into a black bear.
Yeah.
That's roughing it for sure.
Yeah, it's you're up there. You feel tougher though.
You do feel tougher.
You feel one with nature and you can handle this. But yeah, there's a lot of different types of cabins and cottages. I mean, some are super fancy pants, and some are, you know, just slightly reconditioned versions of authentic 19th century cottages that people used to stay and live in back then.
I tend to gravitate toward the latter. I like historic. I like, I know the word authenticity is overused these days, but I just, the idea of someone, a whole family in many cases, living in this cabin back in the 1800s always blows my mind when you're coming to this one room cabin to stay or just to experience. That puts things into perspective, you know.
Right? Well, you didn't get a lot of alone time back then.
I don't know
indoors.
How they kept their sanity. I definitely need my space.
Well, I know people now who don't know how they can keep their sanity without their phone every 60 seconds.
I know.
So.
That's the other thing is, you know, these are a lot of times in very remote places. So I know Wi-Fi is like everywhere, but I try very hard to not care as much about my Wi-Fi signal when I'm out in any of these locations, especially if I'm truly vacationing and not, you know, working for Discover Wisconsin. But if I'm actually on vacation, yeah, I try really hard to disconnect and unplug, as everyone says.
And not everything we're going to be talking about is, you know, 50 miles from anywhere either. I mean, the first one we're going to talk about is in Reedsburg.
Yeah. So not too, yeah, like you said, not too far from civilization. I have not actually stayed at this cottage, but it is 100% on my bucket list. It's called the Seth Peterson Cottage. It is on Mirror Lake. So if you are an architecture and or history buff, I think you're going to really dig these accommodations. So folks literally from all over the world have stayed at the Seth Peterson Cottage. It was designed by the legendary Frank Lloyd Wright back in 1958. If you see pictures of it, if you look it up online, you're going to see classic Frank Lloyd Wright architecture. It has a soaring roof line, a view of Mirror Lake, lots of natural light in the actual cottage. It's just beautiful. It's not too big either. I know a lot of his homes are pretty massive, but this one is truly a cottage. At least from what I can tell. Like I said, I haven't been there, but
yeah,
it looks quaint.
Frank Lloyd Wright's things can tend to sprawl along with the land, but below.
Yes.
To kind of
they kind of look like
nature.
They're in the ground, and I don't study a lot of architecture, but I've always been really intrigued and fascinated by Frank Lloyd Wright, both his personal story and his actual work and legacy. I just think it's just so interesting. The fact that we've got, I think a lot of people take for granted just how much of his legacy is in Wisconsin. And I know the Seth Peterson Cottage, I know it's not cheap, but I think the value is definitely there. You're truly experiencing a very well-kept, very well-maintained cottage right on Mirror Lake, a really pretty part of Wisconsin.
It really is. And that's where, you know, we're kind of on the cusp of the Driftless area right there. So you have beautiful landscapes along with the beautiful lake, and Reedsburg, the town, is right there with plenty to do. They have a great main street. If you're staying at the Seth Peterson Cottage, you might as well check out some 19th century cabins and cottages nearby at the Pioneer Village Historic Museum, which is right there along 23 and 33.
Yep.
On the east side of town.
Yep.
I got to make sauerkraut
Oh, did you? Look at you.
Slicing cabbage for the show. That was fun.
Yeah, you can also, there's the Wisconsin 400 State Trail. So you can go biking or hiking along the trail. If you're looking to be less about nature and more about city life, I might recommend testing your luck at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Wisconsin Dells. If you're into the, like I said, testing your luck, there's some fun literally right around the corner. That's what's really cool about the Dells area, Reedsburg Dells area, is you can be very remote if you want to be. Like, there's some really beautiful spots right outside of town, but as most people who have visited that area know, you can also get right into the chaos and the madness that the Dells has to offer, even in the winter.
You're within 15 minutes of remote fishing and beautiful peace and quiet and so many stars in the sky, and then you can be in this big, loud, crazy water park and check, or go to Ishnala Supper Club and have just, a wonderful meal. Yeah. And then the cottage is just about 15 minutes away. And so you kind of have the best of all worlds with that location.
Yeah. So that's the Seth Peterson Cottage in Reedsburg.
Next up, we're going to talk about staying in a train caboose.
I'd do it.
Cooley Junction Caboose. And its address is technically DeSoto, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. South of Viroqua.
Area.
It's basically along Highway 82 between Viroqua and DeSoto.
Stunning part of Wisconsin.
Really is. And it's a 1954 railroad caboose, an authentic one. It sits on 5 acres, and it's got a kitchen and a bathroom in it, fireplace, a private deck with a hot tub.
Dang.
I know. Choo-choo. Right? It's all under
Where's
a nice
our sound
gazebo.
Effect there, Dave?
Yeah, do we have a train sound effect there?
I'm sorry, I wasn't briefed on the train sounds. Had everything else.
Yeah. It's great for, just you, a couple, a family. They have pets, they'll allow pets there too and everything. And it's sitting on a train track. Now, that track won't go anywhere. But it's as authentic a sleep on a train experience as you can get. So that's another great one. And again, you can see it right off the road, but you've got a lot of land to enjoy.
I'm Googling it right now. That. And it really is a caboose, legitimately.
A little red caboose. And it's really cute. It totally stands out. Before I even knew it was a cabin, I just happened to spot it while I was driving by.
Really?
And I stopped and grabbed a picture and thought it was just the coolest.
I love it. And I'm constantly recommending to other people to check out the Driftless area because it is just, we talked about it already, but stunning part of Wisconsin. We're talking about mostly southwest Wisconsin. Just really fascinating Amish culture, gorgeous geological, just facets in general from the ridges, the valleys, the hills. I can just take my car and just drive for hours when I'm in that corner of the state because I still remember the first time I even drove through the Driftless area.
It's amazing, right?
I was like, this to me, it was otherworldly. I remember thinking, this is not the Wisconsin I know.
Otherworldly is an excellent way to describe it because you feel like you've gone 600-700 miles away and it's right there. And this particular cabin we're talking about is in Vernon County, but there's a lot of, great places.
And you're
like
not going to see your typical tourist destinations in the Driftless area for the most part. I mean, you're talking about small cafes and, microbreweries and beautiful state parks. I mean, there's not going to be just crazy tourist attractions for the most part. And I like that too, because I think that I went on a road trip to the Driftless last summer with my dog, Josie, and I didn't really have any plans. I just kind of Googled stuff along the way and popped in at different wineries and just everything just felt like so real. Everyone's super nice and just gorgeous, really gorgeous. I'm going to have to check out the caboose, though, because I've not yet stayed there.
It's really cool. And so we've done two kind of in the Driftless area. So let's fly
north,
up north. And,
to the top?
To the top, right next to Ashland County in Bayfield.
Yeah, let's feature the Rittenhouse Inn. It's a bed and breakfast in Bayfield, Wisconsin. Now, if you haven't been to Bayfield, I'll start there. Another town that really took me by surprise the first time I visited. It's one of those cities that doesn't fit the Wisconsin kind of idea that you have in your mind of what a Northwoods town is. To me, it's very kind of New England-esque.
I was going to say, it feels Cape Cod-esque.
It does, yeah.
Or Maine, even.
It does have Maine vibes. It seems like every house in that city must have an amazing view of Lake Superior because it kind of sits on this...
The land goes up quite a bit from Lake Superior.
It does. Yeah. And you can't miss the Rittenhouse Inn. I mean, it is right there on that, I don't know if you know the street name. I'm going to say the main.
Right off 13, fairway. Highway 13, yeah.
Okay. In Bayfield, so you won't miss it. It's ginormous. I had the honor of staying there a couple of times, actually. I believe while we were filming, actually, it might have been our bed and breakfast show, and also while we did the Berkey. And the folks who run that place are so sweet, so kind. I actually really love bed and breakfast because I had a thing about them before I ever stayed at one. I just thought, like, oh, it's kind of a weird concept to me to be in a home with other people. But until you stay at one, I don't know. For me anyway, I had a whole different respect for just how accommodating they are, how sweet they are. They make the best food ever. Like, the food at the Rittenhouse Inn is amazing. And it's a historic home. I mean, it's so stunning.
And they're known for their meals and for wine dinners, and they'll have certain events too throughout the year.
Yes.
And I've written about those here and for State Trunk Tour, and you talk about wine and dinner pairings, and they bring in all these chefs from places. And so they have a lot of things that you can do any time of year.
Yeah, it's a very surprising area. I mean, it has been voted actually the best little town in the Midwest, and it's very close to the Apostle Islands. So a lot of people know, obviously, of the Apostle Islands up there. It's not too far. A lot of people will, their home base will be Bayfield if they're going to kayak the sea caves at the Apostle
Madeline
Islands.
Island right across.
Madeline Island, yep, right across the way. I was actually up there during the winter, so there was no kayaking for me anyway at that time, but I did go dog sledding in Bayfield,
oh, cool.
Which was super fun. Yeah, just that's definitely an area, and that's a specific bed and breakfast that I tend to recommend pretty regularly to people who ask me.
Now, nearby in Bayfield is Cable, which is basically northeast of Hayward, and it's near the Delta Diner, which we talk about all the time.
Yes.
And that would be Garmisch, USA.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with the Cable area, you've probably heard of the Garmisch, USA. It's pretty iconic. So they're really well known for their German cuisine. And I will attest to their old fashions as well. I added this one to the list because I felt like of all the ones we're talking about, so we talked about some very interesting and even eclectic cabins and cottages, but this one to me feels like iconic Northwoods. Like, if you go and go look up Garmisch, USA, whether it's winter or summer, I mean, it looks like a fairy tale of a place. Like, it's just so, it feels nostalgic when you're there. You kind of feel like you're going back in time a little bit. It has stunning views of Lake Namekagon.
And a bit of a Teutonic twist with all the German.
Yeah, exactly. Which, obviously, very Wisconsin. So, yeah, I had some great meals there. I got to meet the owners. It's both iconic and authentic Wisconsin, but also has kind of an interesting, that German twist is kind of an interesting element of the Garmisch, USA.
And, you know, when you're up in the Northwoods, cabins, you always think of cabins and cottages. Not as often in Door County, where you're thinking about resorts and some other places like that. But we've got a good one right around Sturgeon Bay.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Chanticleer. So this is actually a gorgeous farmhouse and barn, both of which were originally built back in 1915. Big red barn that was basically remodeled to be a spot where you can stay. It has four luxury cottages. It's located on 40 private wooded acres. Each cottage overlooks a private half-acre pond. So I don't think there's a bad view at any of these cottages. Just a perfect spot to watch wildlife. And obviously it's Door County. So, I mean, you may not be spending a ton of time at, you know, wherever you're staying anyway, because there's so much to do on the peninsula. But, I mean, you better do it right and stay at a place you really like, I think, while in Door County, just because, you know, the whole county to me has always felt very slow paced and laid back. And I like that this bed and breakfast has that same kind of vibe, that same mode to it.
And really the whole point of Door County is to slow down, take it easy.
Absolutely.
Relax, enjoy the water on either side, enjoy the nature around you.
Head out on a lighthouse tour,
yes.
Relish a fish boil. That's your iconic.
All the
Door
state
County.
Parks there. There's five of them.
So many.
In
is
Door
there
County?
Five? I knew there was a lot. That's crazy.
They call them the crown jewels of Door County.
Yeah, as they should.
And Cape Point County Park is a must see.
Yes.
So there's several good options there in our campfire conversation.
Yeah, if you have any, I mean, there are obviously amazing cabins and cottages, bed and breakfast. There's actually some really cool yurts as well. If you have your own ideas and suggestions, things you wish we would have covered, go leave us a 5-star review and mention any of your suggestions in your comments, and we'll do our best to possibly reference any of them in future shows.
All right. And we look forward to hearing about additional ones. Meantime, let's get a quick word in from our sponsor, Jolly Good Soda, a Wisconsin favorite for a long time. They've made a comeback in a big way. There's 9 flavors currently available, not including their diet options. And there is a flavor for everyone. My favorite, right here, Diet Cream Soda.
Ooh.
And Jolly Good, I mean, I remember Jolly Good from when I was a kid. And yes, I'm older than everyone else in this room right now. And it's just, it's always been a fantastic soda. And now they've got them in these nice, easy cans, and you can pick up a can or even an entire case at Woodman's or online at jollygoodsoda.com.
Do you have a favorite flavor, Dave?
I really like using the Sour Power when you're making Old Fashioned.
Brilliant.
And I know that I've seen them put out drink recipes in the past. I don't know if that was around the holiday season or something like that.
Actually, on Discover Wisconsin social media.
Yeah, I've definitely linked that recipe to people who are like, what is the quintessential Old Fashioned? And it's got to have that Sour Power in there. It's perfect way to top it off.
We need an Old Fashioned liquor cart in the cabin.
That's a great idea.
I have failed on that front. And I'll bring in some Jolly Good Sour Power, and we'll be able to test out Dave's recommendation here.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good. All right, it's time for our Behind the Scenes segment, and we're joined by Discover Wisconsin producer Brian Mosinian to talk about this weekend's new episode, and that is all about walking tours around the state. And we need to walk more, so I'm welcoming this episode. Hey, Brian.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And boy, this is going to be a fun one. I know, Mariah, you're in this episode.
Yes.
And you went all, this episode covers like one extreme of the state to the other practically.
My Fitbit got used very regularly for this episode. There was indeed a lot of walking.
Well, there's so much cool stuff to see when you're walking instead of driving around, for example. Foot to ground, you really get an essence of some great things about all these towns in Wisconsin, whether it's murals or whether it's just all the unique shops or cafes or anything that are in these places. And so where are we going this weekend, Brian?
We're going to 4 different historic downtowns that each have a little bit of different things going on in their tours. There is Burlington, Plymouth, Waukesha, and Ashland.
Ah, so we really are covering the whole state.
Yeah, 4 cities that haven't been on Discover Wisconsin a ton. So I was selfishly pretty eager to go to all 4 just because, you know, I knew a little bit about each, but not a ton. And like you said, I think walking is different. You know, a lot of times, especially with our show, we fly into these cities, we'll be there filming all day, maybe 2 days in a row, come back, go back a couple months later. But I do feel like with this episode, it felt a little different to me in that we kind of got a more intimate look at each of these downtowns. At least I felt that way.
Yeah, I mean, we spent more time, I think, in one location on one day because of that difference, I guess.
Yeah, just the pace of the filming, yeah.
And really, you know, we talked about unique cabins and cottages earlier in this episode. We were talking about slowing it down at a gentler pace and really experiencing things.
That's the theme today.
And it is, because the walking tours do just that, too, in these beautiful towns.
And I think people overlook them all the time. Like, I find this in my own hometown in Evansville. It's a city that's very well known for its historic homes, and I did not take the historic tour that they offer until I got this job. Like, I went back and filmed there. And that is a common theme. You find that, you know, I want to obviously show people all across the Midwest these 4 cool towns and what they have to offer, but I always get almost a little more excited to show the locals their own place and remind them why they should be proud to live in places like Plymouth and Ashland and Burlington and Waukesha. It's just, I left every one of those shoots like, dang, these guys are like, they've got a really awesome town. Like, I hope everyone realizes that here.
So many of these towns have a unique history. They have some great architecture, like you mentioned. So many of these towns are the birthplace of this or that, or the capital of this or that.
Yeah.
And you really don't get a full sense of it until you go into the heart of that town.
It's true.
And walk around.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about each of these towns. Might as well start up north because we were talking about Ashland County with Wisconsin Counties Association at the start of this. Let's talk about Ashland.
Sure. Ashland, the mural capital of Wisconsin. They're full of these historic murals that are done by two local artists that basically capture the history of the town on the walls.
And their histories are kind of written, too, next to each mural. Every mural has a history, and the story behind that is there.
Yes.
And the nice part about Ashland is it's, as we kind of mentioned before, we're giving a lot of love to Ashland today.
Yeah.
They're kind of the main city along the Lake Superior coast for Wisconsin. So there's a lot more shops there than a town that size usually would have. There's a lot more to do. There's a brewery, South Shore Brewery. And there's a college there. So walking around there, there's a dynamic nature in that town that, you know.
Well, and how you view the murals is actually pretty unique in that Ashland offers a trolley tour. So that, and that was actually, I would say, so I interviewed Sue Martinson. She was one of two artists of the, 20-something murals they have in Ashland.
21.
Her and Meredith. There's a, what's her name?
Kelly Meredith.
Kelly Meredith. Okay, so Kelly Meredith and Sue Martinson. I interviewed Sue Martinson. She probably gave one of the best interviews I've ever seen on Discover Wisconsin.
Oh,
she that was really fun. I like how that played out.
Yeah, she was just so great. She literally kept her art smock. She's like, I don't have time to change for you guys. I got my art smock. Let's go do this. Okay. And I was like, I love you already. And she had a great quote at because Ashland is the last stop we make in the show. And at the very end of the show, she says something.
Third to last.
Sorry. Oh, just kidding. Thanks for fact checking me. Yeah. Third to last stop in the show. I knew it was near the end. And she says something near the end of her segment about how everyone says to her, like, you should be doing murals in Chicago. And she's like, no, Chicago should be coming here. And I was, and she was so, you know, she was so defiant and just like, I loved her. She is someone like every town should have, you know, like she's a cheerleader. She's obviously extraordinarily talented. Her and Kelly Meredith, I just think, I hope that city realizes how lucky they are to have two amazing women like that who are going around, you know, fundraising and figuring out how they're, what they're going to paint and how they're going to do it. And yeah, teaching people along the way, because those murals are all very historic in nature.
Architecture is nice, but a beautiful mural on the side of a building just adds so much.
Oh my gosh. Totally. It changes everything.
And
totally.
I loved from her interview when she was talking about that they aren't just paintings to her. They are people that she imagines coming off of the painting and like telling a story about the town. It was just like such a cool insight into.
Yeah, she was very proud about her downtown, and it was evident in the stuff she was making too. So
we're going in alphabetical order just because I decided that just now. So the next town we go to is Burlington in Western Racine County. Chocolate City, USA.
And home of Tony Romo.
Yes, indeed. And Fred's Burgers.
Oh, I love. We did. We stopped at Fred's Burgers.
We did. Yeah, great
I think
place.
At my very adamant request.
And Adrian's Frozen Custard right across the railroad track. So
classics right there.
Gone into the food and drink, but there's a lot else you can check out when you're walking around downtown, including murals.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great historic walking tour that we took with a lot of different things on it that tell the past of Burlington, including the fact that they were a part of the Underground Railroad here in Wisconsin at some point. And it was full of abolitionists at one point.
There's a lot of cool things in Burlington, like the Yo-Yo Museum. The Burlington Liars Club is a real famous thing. And they
featured that, I think, a few years ago.
Like whoever could tell the tallest tale wins competition every year.
It's right downtown. Yeah. I remember when we were filming, we passed a sign that said Burlington Liars Club. Like, that's amazing.
So they have that club. They have it's the Spinning Toy and Yo-Yo Museum, I think is the official name of it. And that's all right within the walkable part of downtown, which also has a lot of great architecture.
Mm-hmm. Brian, how were your navigational skills for the show?
Subpar. We may have gotten lost a few times and made some friends with some dogs.
So, yes, you did.
And this is a theme that we've been establishing since last week when we talked to Taylor, is that navigating is kind of hard sometimes.
It is hard, unless you're Eric Paulson. Yeah. You would have gotten us out of those pickles. But we do, for our listeners who aren't aware, we do tease Brian pretty regularly for his lack of navigational skills.
And it's valid. It's valid.
Oh, yeah, it is valid. But it's funny.
Can imagine you pre-GPS.
But as long as I'm in Wisconsin, I'm home, right?
Yeah, right? That's true. We'll find our way. Everyone will, you can always ask someone if girls are anywhere, not to gender stereotype, but girls are usually pretty okay with asking people for help. You boys are on a different level.
Yeah, we resist.
You resist.
You feel it makes
us look
weak,
for this. You know. I look weak.
Exactly. So lots to see and check out in Burlington in the episode.
Yeah, one thing I also have to highlight real quick is the waterfall. At the end of our historic walking tour, we got to the waterfall right at sunset. Insanely beautiful and just a great location to for
that was stunning.
Those are some great shots.
That is nice.
Well, right? I should hope so because Brian had me do one scene, I think 56 times in a row. And I think I remember saying, the shot better make the show. And Brian was like, I hate when you say that.
It was very beautiful.
I think I used that shot at least like one or two of the shots.
So it was worth it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's right along the Fox River, right? That waterfall?
Yes.
And then Browns Lake next to it. Shout out to the Browns Lake Aqueducts, their water ski show that they do every summer. That's pretty
Burlington.
Fantastic, too, if you check out Burlington in the warm weather months.
Yeah.
See if you can check out one of their shows.
Okay, alphabetical. So Plymouth?
Plymouth is next. And yeah, that's the cheese capital of the world.
Yes.
They drop a wedge of cheese at New Year's Eve.
Do they still do that? I need to go check that out.
It's really cool.
That is as Wisconsin as it gets.
Nice big party downtown. Mm-hmm. And there's murals aplenty in Plymouth, too.
Yes. Yeah, rich cheese history that's displayed on all those murals. And there's a ton of cheese production that's still done there. So we got a little taste of that, too, because we went to Sartori. Mariah talked to Jim Sartori over at the East Main Caves in Plymouth. I don't know if you want to talk to that interview. But.
Just trying to make things awkward here. No. Just kidding. No, that was awesome. I love Sartori. I mean, Plymouth is a pretty small city. And, yeah, given what they do there, you know, from Sargento to Sartori, cheese is the economy in Plymouth. It's almost everyone there seems to work at one of the cheese factories or cheese locations. So it was just, you know, specifically talking to Jim Sartori, I just had no idea what, you know, his family sacrificed just to start the company. And I always love hearing from companies like that who are it's still in the family. Like there are still Sartoris who are running the company. It's crazy to me. I love it.
I think I read a statistic where something like 20 to 25% of all the nation's cheese is either produced in or runs through Plymouth on its way to being sold and delivered.
Ellen, you want to fact check that?
That sounds about right.
Go ahead. I stand behind that. And there is the Cheese and Dairy Heritage Center that's right on Main Street. I guess technically it's called Mill Street, but it's the main drag through downtown Plymouth, which is a really cool place to stop in as well.
Well, and the original Cheese Exchange used to be in Plymouth.
That's right.
Moved to Chicago, I want to say. But don't quote me on that. I'm less confident about my facts.
I think that's what she told us.
Yeah, and it's just really fascinating. Really fascinating stuff. Do we get a fact check?
We got a
real-time fact check
from Ellen back here. 15%.
15?
That's still crazy impressive.
It is.
Yeah.
Plymouth I knew there was a 5 in there somewhere.
So the majority of the murals, from what I remember, were just very obviously cheese-centric. I mean, you're in the cheese capital of the world, so clearly, you know, it's going to make sense. But yeah, it is, I'm trying to, because the town is, I don't know if it's smaller than Burlington. It's, 8,400 people. So when you take that into account how small that city is, given the major cheese brands in that city, I don't know, I find that super fascinating.
It is, and it's just a delicious place to be.
Yep. I got to go on a wine walk, too, there. So
I was going to say, that's super fun. The Heritage Center is where the wine walk started. Tried some cheese and wine there, and then made our way down to the Dio's Pizzeria for the end of our night.
Oh, I've eaten there. So, yeah, that place is really good. Plymouth Brewing Company is across the street. They make some pretty good beers. There's a distillery and a winery just down the street. There's a common theme in a lot of these towns.
Well, in case you were curious, Ashland has 8,200 people. I'm a weird thing. I have a weird thing with populations. But
Ashland has 8,200?
8,200. And Plymouth has 8,400, and Burlington is around 10,000.
I was going to say, all these are fairly small
cities.
Pretty
small, yeah.
I think Waukesha is the biggest.
Yeah, now that brings us to the largest one. Right. Waukesha has around 70,000.
72.
And that is the final stop, not in terms of order on the show, per se, but alphabetical order it is, so...
Actually, was it the last?
It is actually the last.
Oh, it is the last one? Okay. So alphabetically and in the show.
This was very cool. I just want to throw that out there because I have spent, that's one city. The longer I do this job, the more I'm like, I'm starting to visit places 2, 3, 4 times in a row. And Waukesha was one I'd really never spent a lot of time in. And I
couldn't get lost in there pretty easily.
Yeah, it's huge, first of all. But that downtown is beautiful, and it was just so lively and vibrant. I know I was there during an event, which, you know, gives it a different look and feel. But I really loved Waukesha. And obviously the history, given Les Paul, just makes it extra interesting.
Yeah, the guitar history, and there's murals of that and statues of guitars and everything downtown. It's a very vibrant city, too, because you have UW-Waukesha and Carroll College there. So it's a college town. It's also the Carroll College is where the very first forward pass in college football ever took place.
Oh, yeah. I remember
back
hearing
in 1906. And the downtown of Waukesha, the streets kind of, everybody says it's like a wheel with spokes but no hub. Everybody gets turned around there. But everywhere you turn, there's something cool to look at.
Hmm. Yeah, the Gibson guitars made the Waukesha guitar town 2 years in a row for the fact that Les Paul was born and then died in Waukesha.
So one for
kind
each?
Of the reason, I guess.
1 year for each?
Yeah. I don't think that's how that works.
But again, just a great place to check out and explore. And everybody knows Waukesha County, and it's very busy there. But a lot of people don't get a chance to dive into downtown Waukesha and walk around and check everything out. And it's very much worth the trip.
Oh, it's beautiful.
To see
really
everything that's
cool
down
downtown.
There. So, from the episode in its entirety, what were some of your favorite parts? What were some challenges?
So for me, I just felt like there were some amazing interviewees in the episode. I really had fun meeting. I already mentioned Sue Martinson up in Ashland. She was fantastic. But so was Sue Baker, who personally knew Les Paul. So to get to talk to someone who, you know, like talk regularly called him on the phone, asked him questions, and just hearing her account of how connected he felt to Waukesha, even though he had been all over the place, I think was just like he ended up getting buried in Waukesha. And I think that's cool. That's just so cool that he clearly had a lot of love and affection for his hometown. I don't know. She was a really great interviewee. And I didn't know that much about Les Paul before going and filming that segment. So I was just in the museum that we went to, all about Les Paul.
Yep.
That exhibit was so cool. I had a really good time there.
Here's some cool trivia. Who is Les Paul's godson, do you know?
Give me a hint.
No.
I feel like this might have gotten brought up.
Fly Like an Eagle.
No.
Yeah. Steve Miller.
Oh, I was thinking who sings that? That's who sings that song?
Yeah.
Steve Miller?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Time keeps on slipping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was born in Milwaukee, and his parents knew Les Paul, and Les Paul is Steve Miller's godfather.
That's so cool. Oh,
that is super
I didn't know
cool.
That. Very cool. I would say a bigger challenge specifically for this episode, because a lot of the walk-in tours and the murals and everything else is in these downtowns, and they're in these busy streets full of people, cars, lots going on, especially since we're filming during the day, obviously. So that was a big issue in regards to audio, as well as, you know, trying to film these walls that are on the side of a street. So that was a challenge, but we made it work and got creative with how we portrayed certain parts of the tour, and Mariah being able to, get a taste for everything that each of these downtowns offered.
You know, that's true. When you're filming a Discover Wisconsin episode, your enemy is traffic noise, planes overhead, people getting in your way. And when you're filming downtown, I mean, we film out in the wilderness so much. When you're filming downtown, you have a lot to contend with.
Yes, you do. A lot of people who want to video bomb you and get in the background and
woo!
Yes.
Those people, yeah.
Okay, so we talked about challenges. Let's kind of reverse the script here and talk about your favorite parts of the show. Are there any shots that really stand out to you? Things that you were like, yeah, that was worth it to get that, to get that shot, to get that footage?
Well, there was a lot of shots, and maybe in the moment that you weren't very happy with that we did so many times that turned out well.
And now everyone thinks I'm a diva.
Well, no, I think one of the more interesting things with this episode is the amount of movement that we do, the amount of, obviously it's a walking tour episode, so we do a lot of walking. We do a lot of following you. We do a lot of gimbal work specifically.
What's a gimbal? A lot of people don't know what a gimbal is.
A gimbal is a motorized stabilization device for the camera.
It's like a stick thingy that holds. Let me like do the layman's terms. It's like a stick thingy that holds the camera in place, so you can wiggle your arm around as much as you want, and the camera is stabilized. How'd I do?
Perfect.
Is that like the official definition?
Yes.
It's a very cool device.
But yeah, so a lot
super
of
cool.
Yeah, a lot of gimbal work and a lot of moving shots. So a lot of different kinds of transition planning, a lot of different kinds of specific shots within the tour itself, the walk that we do. I guess one that really stands out is when we got to the end of that bridge, facing the waterfall in Burlington. It was right at sunset. We got there right at the perfect time, and we just did a nice couple, like, gimbal wraparounds of the area, drone wraparounds.
We were in the background of someone's wedding photos.
Yep.
I remember that.
It was that nice out that they were taking wedding photos at the same location. So yeah,
I know I teased you earlier about how many takes it took to get that shot, but that is production. I mean, I think a lot of people think that we, Eric and I, just go out to these places and we have video folks following us around everywhere we go. But in actuality, it's a lot of waiting around. It's a lot of setting up the shot. Figuring out how to get the best angle, working through lighting, working through audio. And you do a fantastic job, I think, planning ahead and figuring out, like, how do I visually make this the absolute best it can possibly be? And I think it shows in this episode.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you did a great job being the host in it. So.
Thank you very much, Brian.
You guys are so much nicer to each other on this podcast than we are when we're working. It's amazing.
Wait till the camera's off.
The claws come out. Oh, it's not that bad at all. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll look forward to seeing the episode this weekend.
Go stream it right now on YouTube, Apple TV, Smart TV, Google Chromecast, and Amazon Fire.
And Roku.
I didn't say Roku?
No.
Ugh.
And, of course, discoverwisconsin.com. The YouTube link is embedded right there on the front page. And you can always go to that YouTube
and
episode anytime you want.
And like the video on YouTube, too.
Yes, make sure you like it. And, Brian, thank you so much for joining us for a little behind
Brian.
The scenes.
Thank you for having me.
Is he gone?
He's gone.
Okay, Dave, cue the Supper Club music.
You got it.
Yes. Now it's time for one of my favorite segments, Wisconsin in 72. If you're joining us for the first time today, I've got 72 seconds to cover events going on across Wisconsin's 72 counties this weekend. So here we go. This Saturday in Conover, Wisconsin is the Northwoods Blizzard Blast. This winter festival features outdoor activities, contests, and games for all ages, sleigh riders, recliner races, giant ski races, and that's just the beginning. I've been to this festival, Mariah's been to this festival, and let me tell you, even if you're not from the Northwoods area, it is definitely worth the trip. Meanwhile, on Saturday in Ashland is Book Across the Bay. If you've never heard of this unique cross-country ski race and snowshoe trek, it takes place across the frozen surface of Lake Superior at night by the light of the stars and some candles and flashlights. Things kick off at 6 p.m., and even if you're not participating, there's plenty to do and see in the many heated tents on site. In Osceola, the Big Lake Ice Fishing Contest kicks off on Saturday. Kids 6 and under fish for free, and there are hundreds of prizes on the line. This is such a cool opportunity to get out on the ice and enjoy the winter weather while we've got it. And don't miss out. You could be one of the big cash prize winners of the day. Also, Friday and Saturday in Oshkosh is the Polar Plunge for the Special Olympics. It's an awesome opportunity for individuals, organizations, and businesses to support local... Look, oh my God, did I not fill it out? Wow.
Almost got there.
How does
Almost.
Second place feel, Eric?
Ooh.
Shots fired.
Pretty lousy right now. I wasn't hauling as fast as you.
You
were.
Did use some of the time to intro the segment, whereas Mariah launched into it.
I did in events. A way. Anyway, the
down over there, audio
the Polar Plunge for Special Olympics in Oshkosh is Friday and Saturday. Great, awesome opportunity for individuals, organizations, and businesses to support local Special Olympics athletes. You can take the plunge, get into the freezing lake water for a good cause. There's also Freezing for a Reason 5K run, a kid's tent, live music, and more. So it says it here. How was my time? I already know how my time was.
Lousy.
So don't say a word.
Oh. All right.
Moving on then.
That was
a word. That was an oh.
Room for improvement.
You did your best.
Yeah.
It?
You did.
I do this on the radio all the time and I do it really fast and I can talk within like 14
okay,
seconds
I will,
before they start singing.
I will give you points for accuracy. I go for speed and I think I skip over words. I mispronounce words. So. You know,
it's the listeners to... probably appreciate your pace a little bit more.
That
but...
Supper Club music
Ooh,
is so
Eric's?
Smooth.
Yeah.
You know,
it just, I disagree. I
feel like they can... Oh, okay.
JK.
Well, okay.
Well, then.
Will there be any of this information in the show notes or what are we doing with that?
Oh, yeah. I've got all this information in the show notes in case you missed it. And you can also check it out on the events calendar at discoverwisconsin.com.
All right. And we welcome your reviews and suggestions, comments, likes. It says dislikes here, but forget that. We don't like dislikes.
If you don't, I'm going to delete those reviews.
I'll talk faster next time.
And
in
if
that
there's
72.
ever anything that the fact checking is wrong, please write in. We might do a segment in the future called Ope, where we address anything that
I like it.
I do too.
We messed up. So we are open to that as well.
And we know messing up, don't we,
Mariah? Oh, yeah. Yeah. This job can be very humbling.
All right, we're down to it, huh?
Let's do it.
All right, well, thank you for tuning in to week 2 of The Cabin. Next week, we'll be joined by one of the sons of Discover Wisconsin creator Dick Rose to talk about the history of the longest running tourism show in the country. That's us. And we'll be heading to Beloit for the inside scoop on a brand new episode of Discover Wisconsin.
This will be a really cool show.
Yes, absolutely.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Hopperman, Eric Paulson, and Dave Janis, plus Ellen Fallon. Produced by me and Ellen Fallon. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com. And don't forget to leave a review.
Last but not least, we've got this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin, where a potter at Sunset Hill Stoneware in Neenah attempts to break a Guinness World Record.
Dun, dun, dun.
Located in Neenah, Sunset Hill Stoneware is known for its handmade pottery and state-of-the-art technology.
Sunset Hill Stoneware is a 21-year-old company that hand-makes mugs and steins, potters on potter's wheels. It's hard for people to believe that. They look at it and they go, no, that's a machine that made that. No, every one of those is a potter on a potter's wheel.
And over the past few months, Michael Weber has been training to break the world record for most pots thrown in an hour.
3, 2, 1, go!
I've worked at Sunset Hill Stoneware for 5 years. I've been throwing for about 3.
But no amount of experience can prepare you for the pressure felt while attempting to beat a world record.
Yeah, it was quite a bit of preparation. I'd come in on the weekends and like practice for like a half hour. I had to figure out like what size clay ball like I felt comfortable with, so I tried a couple different sizes. The number of pots I had to beat for the world record was 193, and I think my official count was 212.
Michael Weber and Sunset Hill Stoneware officially now hold the Guinness World Record for the most flower pots thrown in an hour with 212 pots. And now you know your Wisconsin.